Welcome to MMBT, a podcast dedicated to music, movies, books, and TV shows. I am your host, Emilio.
All right, so this episode is the Pride Month episode. I know the last few times I've done queerbaiting. This time I just thought, you know, with it'd be the anniversary of Stonewall and 50 years and that kind of stuff, we would just kind of go over more of the development of LGBT people on film for the last 50 years, actually. We could probably even go further than that, but I just was like, well, we'll just start since it's 50 to do the last 50 years. I guess I'm going to be honest and upfront. Part of this is going to come from my years of college experience where I took a class on LGBT cinema. And some of it is going to be based on just me trying to discover things for myself since I came out about 20 years ago now. First as a gay woman and then as a trans man. The way this is going to work is, let's just, dive right in. So, for those that don't know, the Stonewall Riots were, June 27th, 1969. And that definitely had an impact, in my opinion, on especially, LGBT people in cinema, and how they were viewed. And part of it is you can even see it, in terms of TV and movies in the 70s versus in the 60s. So the last, like, lesbian film that I would say in the 60s that really came out was The Fox, and how that movie portrayed the LGBT couple, female couple that led it, versus once you get into the 70s and some of the shows that came out then. A great example is... you look at Soap, which was a sitcom making fun of soap operas during that time. And you have Billy Crystal acting out a gay man. While it still is very stereotypical and has a lot of stereotypes, it definitely has a characterization of putting people who are gay onto the TV screen. All the Family did something very similar with having somebody who was gay or lesbian as a predominant focus. Whether stereotyping that character or not, it still was there and predominant. And then you move into what I like to call the backlash in the 80s, and you don't see as many gay characters on TV or even in films like you saw in the 70s. But the one thing that you do have is you have much more of a push of seeing the LGBT movement in the news, which to me is just as important for television and movies as anything that you do in a written script. So you see the Aliveness Project come, you see the AIDS quilt blanket, you see all these things start to happen and occur and, you know, become a driving force to the LGBT movement and being predominant in the news and actually getting to see it. And as somebody who was born in the 80s, and then came out in the 90s, it really influenced me being able to come out in the 90s because as a child, I started seeing all this stuff on the news. I may have not seen it in the media that I was watching, but I did see it in the news, which is important, just in my opinion, just as important as seeing it in a character that you're seeing. You then have, the late 80s where you started to see iconic musicians starting to come out. So Elton John comes out, You have actors that you knew from the 70s starting to come out because they started having AIDS and needed to, describe that. You get into the early 90s and you have iconic rock stars coming out. You have a big push towards showing that gay people and LGBT people are everywhere. And that to me is, as a teenager, was just so important because all of a sudden now I started to see gay icons in my everyday life. And then that also was important because it becomes a focal point to then being able to have LGBT characters on TV. So My So-Called Life, Ellen's first sitcom, ER, Will and Grace, even Frasier, and a bunch of these other shows started to have LGBT, predominantly gay and lesbian, not so much trans and bisexual, characters on TV. Were they still stereotypes in many regards? Yes. I would say the only one that I would say was not a stereotype, but played into the stereotype was when Ellen came out on TV. She did a great job of, it not being a stereotype gay character on TV, because not only was she coming out as her character, but she was coming out as a person herself. And so it really shaped, I think, the forefront of how gay characters would get represented on television. And which is, this is just a part of who I am. This isn't the whole thing about me. ER did a very good job doing the same exact thing with Dr. Weaver. Like, you have the coming out arc that she has about figuring out she's gay, but at the end of that arc, her being gay is just a part of who she is. It's not her whole identity. And those are really good commentaries to play towards, especially when teenagers are watching who are just starting to have the coming out process and being at the forefront of being teenagers coming out. It was really important for me to see those kinds of characters on TV and go, it's going to be okay. There's these icons that obviously can make it and be good. You jump into the new millennia and you get shows like The L Word and Queer as Folk, and which were great shows, except that they were on, prime networks that you had to pay subscriptions to be a part of. And they draw, and in my view, some of them were not that great because they dramatized some of what it was like to be gay and lesbian. And while they were fun to watch, it didn't necessarily, I think, put forth the best view of what the gay and lesbian community is. Versus when you get to shows like Grey's Anatomy, where you all of a sudden start seeing a bisexual woman on TV. And they do a great job with her story arc, with Callie's story arc. But you also get a great sense of, this is part of who she is. And they don't necessarily focus on it all the time. It's just, she's in relationships and she dates both men and women. And like Brooklyn 990 is doing the same thing. And so the course of over the last 50 years in cinema has gone from a being very stereotyped to being much more open. And where this wraps into some of the queerbaiting stuff that I've talked about in the past is, it's important to go, okay, well, what are these shows doing? Are they drawing in us so that we actually have queer representation that's important for us to watch? Or are they using this as a way to catch us in, draw us in to watch, but then discard these characters? And as we're moving forward and we're watching and consuming TV, movies, books, music, all this stuff, is important to go, what's going on here? What is the intent of this from these artists? And sometimes the intent is meant to be genuine, but it still is not what it should be. And so we as a community who identify as LGBTQAI+, need to be well aware of calling out and be like, this is great. I'm glad that you're for this, that you're doing this. However, what is this going to do? And that's one of the reasons why I'm hesitant whenever I hear that there's going to be a queer, gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender character in some regard to something. Because my first instinct is to be, what are they going to do to draw me in? But then go, nope, that's not what we're doing with this character. And it's important for us to call out Hollywood, especially because that's what the majority of what we watch is in the United States, is Hollywood. We need to call them out and make sure that we're saying, it's great that you have this representation. Where is this coming from? Who is writing it? Is it representative of what we fought for over the past 50 years and even longer before that? You have to, you know, and if it's not, then what can we do to help them make sure that it's doing that? And we also have to make sure that they don't cancel shows like One Day at a Time or Brooklyn Nine-Ninety or any of these shows that have great representation and are doing a good job. We have to really push to keep them in and focused. And then shows that are iconic like Star Trek or Star Wars or any of these ones where there's hinting that they're going to have some sort of LGBT focus to the characters on the show, we have to hold them accountable to have it be good representation. I will say that one of the classic Star Wars Deep Space Nine episodes that I really like really actually does talk about transgender, non-binary, queerness with one of his main characters. And while it was corny and not, in my opinion, well-written at the time, it did its best at the time. And we need to make sure that shows right now are doing the same thing, that they're doing their best in the time period and they have writers who understand and are writing to the time period, but still can be carried forward and look back on with a, this actually was important to move us forward. You know, Star Trek Next Generation did the same thing as well. And the writing might not be the best carrying forward, but the idea and the principle still remains. And so we need to make sure that the shows that we're watching aren't queer baiting us. They're taking those ideas and making them principled to moving forward. And if our shows actually do that, we're going to have great content. And this same principle needs to be applied to all minorities, not just the LGBTQAI+ community. It needs to be applied to people of color. It needs to be applied to religious minorities, because as much as we, in the United States especially, say that we aren't one religion, we have people who believe that we are founded on one particular religion, and we need to make sure that representation is being shown well and diverse and in a way that actually moves the conversation forward and shows that this isn't true, that this is what people are like, regardless of what they believe or regardless of what they look like. And as a white man, I can't necessarily say that I understand that point of view, but as somebody who used to be a white woman, I can say I understand the where you look at yourself in the world. And so it's important for us to identify and understand how we are and where we come from. And if we do that, we're going to draw in more writings and more movies and books and movies that everybody is going to want to read and watch and listen to. And the one thing that I will say is that that's the one thing that I now find we need to get to next, which is we need to have a way for there to be a diversity in reading material now. We've done a great job in television and movies and mainstreaming all of that, but the area that I find lacking now is in reading material and moving that forward. And if we can do that, I feel like we've made the next step in where we need to go in terms of entertainment, because reading to me is just as important as television and movies. It's just as important to understand it, especially when a lot of the stuff that we do now gets adapted from books into television and movies. The books that get adapted need to be books that have queer people in it, that have people of color in it, that have religious minorities in it, that have not even religious minorities, just all types of religions in it, because there really is no religious minority. When we say that, we're saying that from a perspective of I am this religion and this other religion is not the same as mine. So we need to grapple with all that, put it together, and really push to have this in our media that we are consuming. So with that, I hope that I kind of opened you up to start thinking about things for the end of the for Pride Month. I know we're coming up at the end of it, but it's sort of good to, I feel, to put it out towards the end. So then that way we can have this lean forward, because Pride isn't just one month. It needs to be all year long. So I'm going to sign off this podcast like I always do, saying peace, love, and joy to all of you out there in listening land.